Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl from American Family Radio News. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I did a little cleaning around the house, cooked a little bit. Yeah.
So you did your... You're breaking the stereotype.
Well, I do.
The gender stereotype that's out there. You're here to break the mold.
To a certain extent, you know, I don't want to to completely break the mold.
Right.
But, you know.
I got you.
You do
so a good
can.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Got some things accomplished.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
And
did
it's
you,
nice
did,
weather
Did you
right
take
here.
Any time out for yourself, though, Steve? That's the question.
I watched a NASCAR race on Sunday,
okay.
So that's probably me time.
Okay. Who won?
Kyle Busch won again. Sixth time in this year, so he's one of the big three that's been winning everything.
Steve keeps up with his NASCAR,
yeah. He does.
I got to tell you, I know this is going to insult some of the people who are listening.
Be careful now.
I know. I just can't think of a more boring way to spend a Saturday or Sunday afternoon than watching
really?
Cars go round and round and round.
What would you think of...
You did insult probably half of our audience, which turned the radio.
I love our audience. Don't turn the channel.
Okay.
Pray for me if you will.
Right. Right.
What would you think of a 1-0 pitcher's duel in baseball? Mm. Is that boring too?
No, that's good baseball. Right
see?
There.
You see, this is, it just depends because you know the game.
I just don't think this
if
is in the Bible. Boys, I don't think this is in the Bible. I think this is one of those to each his own.
So,
So, Steve enjoys cars and racing.
I enjoy hockey.
And Ed enjoys hockey. And,
yeah.
You know, we can all be brothers.
There you go.
Why can't we all get along?
I think so. All right, moving right along. Steve, what do you have that we need to talk about and solve?
Within the last 30 minutes, Rand Paul has tweeted out that he has decided to support Brett Kavanaugh as a judge for the Supreme Court. He tweeted out his conversation with Judge Kavanaugh reinforced his belief that Kavanaugh will evaluate cases before the Supreme Court from a textual and originalist point of view. He was one of the Americans. He's one of the Republicans that was kind of on the fence that people were listing as maybe, along with Murkowski and Collins, not supporting Kavanaugh, which would mean they'd have to get even more Democrat votes. But he's saying he will vote to support Judge Kavanaugh. So that's good news.
For the president and for the Republicans, if they can get that Supreme Court nominee passed and get him on the court before October. That's when they start a new session, the Supreme Court.
Talked to somebody over the just last Friday, I guess, that said that was his expectation, that they will get this over with, get him confirmed and get him sworn in probably the week before the swearing in will probably be the week before the term starts in October.
Yeah.
I don't want this hanging around for the election. It's enough to draw out people from both sides, and if they keep it going – through the election, if by some chance they lose the House or the Senate, that makes confirmation almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
If it was the Senate.
So, anyway. Rand Paul is for Brett Kavanaugh.
Rand Paul is for Brett Kavanaugh. Breaking news. Let's talk about the fires out west. The one that everybody's talking about is the Carr Fire in Northern California, somewhere around Redding. It has now claimed 6 lives, 2 firefighters and 4 civilians.
Is that where you're from?
It's north of where I'm from.
You're from where? Sacramento?
I'm from Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, okay.
Which is on the beach about 70 miles south of San Francisco. This is probably 100 or more miles north of Sacramento, right in the middle of the country. So when I was driving up to, for example, seminary in Oregon, we'd take Highway 5, which would go, you know, just right up the center of the state, and it goes right through Redding. It would be a lot of that acreage would go through. Highway 5 passes through a lot of that. So,
Are the fires due to just the heat and dryness, or are these?
At least one of them has been attributed to arson. So, and I can't remember if it's the Carr Fire or not, but there's a fire in Yosemite burning. There's fires in San Bernardino down in the south. Oregon has at least a couple. Every state out west has some. Colorado's battling fires. Idaho.
Don't they have fires every year?
They do. They do. I think they're – sometimes it's – some years are worse than others. I think at this point this is starting to look like it's one of the hotter and more dangerous years for fires.
It's the dry season. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lightning strikes will do a lot.
California's been relatively been in a drought. I mean, the past few years, on and off, right?
2 years ago, they had an incredibly wet winter, and then they trailed back off into more of a drought situation this last winter. What that does is that when you have a lot of water come down at once, you start growing the underbrush, you start growing a lot of things, and then when the next year hits and it's dry, that all stuff just dries up and becomes tinder for the next year's
fires. I watched a documentary on these wildfires and how they fight them.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's hard. They're so out of control.
And they jump. They jump because of the wind.
Yeah, they jump. The wind, and it's in the hills. You know, the wind, 20, 30 mile an hour winds.
Well, they create their own weather system if it gets big enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've when you seen think a about fire
summer,
tornado.
Think about dryness of summer, people out camping,
mm-hmm.
lighting fires, not doing what's, you know, proper, and these things can get started, and then they take off.
Yeah, no, and it's a great community. Firefighters from all over the nation will converge on a big fire. They'll come from different states. Now, with so many states involved, you got your firefighters kind of battling in your own backyard. But oftentimes, they'll send crews around. There's a movie that came out about a year ago, I guess, about firefighters, about hotshot crews.
Those are some brave people
They really are. Mm-hmm.
And you have to be smart. You have to be well-trained because fire is so unpredictable and can spread so quickly. Right. That's why you get these people who hear about fires and they stay in their homes too long,
right.
And before they know it, you know, they're surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Sadly, three of the people that were killed, a great grandmother and two of her little ones, were killed in this fire when the fire just they couldn't get out of the house quick enough.
Yep. Hmm.
It's just an amazingly tragic thing. Hmm. hey Brent, can I have a bit of a snowflake file music?
Hey snowflake.
Thank you. Well, our snowflakes are acting up in Texas. The city of Austin has several streets that have been named after Confederate generals. Now, Texas being Texas, they have a lot of that stuff. But there's a Littlefield Street, a Tom Green Street, a Sneed Cove, a Reagan Hill Drive, Dixie Drive, Confederate Avenue, Plantation Road. They want to change all of these seven streets. And then things got a little dicey when someone on the city council noted that the name of the city, Austin, is after Stephen F. Austin, who was a slave owner. So now they're trying to figure out if they can change the name of the city.
Oh, I think this is absolutely hysterical.
Isn't it kind of funny to watch?
What are they going to do? They're going to change the name of Austin?
That's what they say. They
if they're going to be true to their liberal convictions, they need to change the name of this town. Am I right, Ed?
Well, I mean, what about Washington, Washington D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
What about
too.
The state of Washington?
That too.
George Washington owned slaves. Let me just say, slavery is just a blight on human history. But at the time,
it started
of
with
the
Americans,
founding,
you know,
it started with Americans. At the time of the founding. I don't think I'm incorrect in this. Slavery was not illegal anywhere.
No.
It was not illegal anywhere. It was legal everywhere, as far as I know. So you're looking back at a time in human history when it was not unexpected. I mean, Britain didn't ban the slave trade or slavery in the empire until William Wilberforce. That's on into the next century in the 1800s. So it was, as far as I know, it was legal everywhere. Now, I'm not defending it.
And commonly accepted.
Commonly accepted.
Around the world.
But do you get rid of the names of all the people whose ideas have brought us to the freedoms we have here as humanity learned step by step what things were wrong and what things aren't?
Well,
it's insanity.
And I think one reason that the majority of Americans are having trouble accepting this idea of let's wipe the names off the statues, etc., is there's no end in sight. You know, it's not like the Democrats are saying, well, you know, we just need to rename these streets and then, you know, everything will be good. But really, if you analyze a lot of names of parks and everything, you can find, you know, somebody committed adultery and his name's over here on this national park. So where do you end? I mean, we've all got flaws. Slavery is one of the major flaws of our country, that and abortion. So, you know, there's no, they have no end in sight. And I think that's why, you know, people are hesitant to get the sandblaster out of the, for the monument.
I mean, people like Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, I mean, they lived in a culture where pederasty was applauded. Okay. And I won't go into any more detail than that. May have some younger ones listening. So do we not teach those people in humanities classes? We can't teach Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates because of the culture in which they lived?
You know, the pyramids were built by slaves. Am I right?
Yes. I believe that's the historical explanation.
I don't think they had a union.
Right. Probably right. Not.
Under Pharaoh. Huh? So should we tear down the pyramids? Huh? Because they were built by slaves.
Steve, several months ago, you brought up the idea of virtue signaling.
Yeah.
And that's really what all this is. I know Ed's mentioned it in the weeks past, but this is all about virtue signaling.
What does that mean exactly?
It means that you display, you know, this moral code that you have, but at the end of the day, you're not really about change. You're just trying to show that you're more moral than everybody else.
So a lot of people that are crying for these streets to be renamed in the last 3 years or so. How long ago was Charlottesville?
About a year or two.
A year ago. So before that, for years they drove down and passed these streets and monuments and never said a thing. So it's hard to think, to your point, Walker, that they were incensed this whole time. But now they're incensed because it's kind of the thing to do, and this is virtue signaling, telling the rest of the liberal world that they're there. I had a conversation with David Barton not too long ago where he pointed out, with regard to our founding fathers, you brought up Washington, that almost to a man, they started divesting themselves of their slaves once they became public figures. And they freed them. They spoke out against slavery. They just couldn't get a union together with some of the southern states unless they put this in writing. I'm wondering if we want to take some suggestions for what to rename Austin. I'm thinking transgender Texas would be politically correct. No?
You're not getting my vote for that. That's what you're asking.
All right, this is going to be interesting to see what happens here because Austin is a liberal town in the middle of a conservative state.
It is.
It's the home of the University of Texas. It's a state capital. So it's going to be interesting to see if they take this to the, you know, the quote next level and get rid of the name of the town. I don't know what that would require.
I'm not even sure. It'd be interesting because that's the state capital.
Yeah.
Does the state have to vote on that or would the city? I don't know. That's
But if we accept, we as in the majority of Americans, accept the idea that we cannot recognize flawed individuals for their historically positive impact on our country, then we're not going to have any monuments. We're going to have few monuments. You know,
Couldn't even recognize Dr. Martin Luther King.
No.
For the brave stand he took regarding civil rights, because historically, the belief is, and I think there's clear evidence, that he was not faithful to his wife.
Right.
Okay? And that he had some questionable Christian theology. So do you say that everything good he did is therefore out the window because he was a flawed human being?
Right.
It's part of a larger overarching project to not only get rid of those monuments, but to kind of erase the history of this country. It gets rid of more than just the memory of whatever that person did. It wipes the slate clean to the point of the Civil War. I'm sorry, Tim, but to the point of the Civil War, yeah, we can all acknowledge that slavery was a bad thing in this country, but let's not forget this country – shed an awful lot of blood in penance for that. And mm-hmm. and to say that that we were a country founded in slavery is to ignore that we were the country that did away with slavery and fought and shed blood to that was important enough to free the slaves and not to have that as part of our current legacy. So, I mean, you got to remember all those things.
Well, and let me just throw this in too, that if our founding fathers were a bunch of bums, okay, which is the leftist, you know, narrative, then maybe the document they wrote is good for nothing too, the Constitution, and maybe we should change it.
And again,
and my own opinion is that's where they want to go.
The end game.
They want to change this country, and they're trying to cut it out from the root.
So you discredit the founders.
You discredit the founders, yeah. And therefore, how can we have let's redo the Bill of Rights. We don't want those gun rights. We don't want those crazy Christians. So we got to redo the First Amendment because, after all, it's a bunch of slave-owning misogynists who started this country. We need to take a good, hard, long look at the Constitution as well.
Right. I agree. Yeah, that's part of the erasing history.
And the Civil War, I am not an expert on the Civil War by any means, but I have done a lot of reading on it and studied it. And I think a lot of people take a lazy attitude toward that time in American history and just say, the South or the Confederacy was just about slavery, and the North and the Union was just about freeing the slaves. That was a major component of the Civil War. But if you look at you look at both sides and what was said and done back then, it was complicated. Okay, states' rights, and you know what I'm saying. It's not just as easy to say one way or another. I'm not saying that the institution of slavery did not need to be ended. It's unfortunate that it took a war costing the lives of hundreds of thousands of, I don't know how many people lost their lives.
Millions.
Millions of lives.
600,000
but I'm just saying to you that there were a lot of factors in that time and era and leading up to that, that you would almost have to live through the time to understand completely and appreciate and understand that. Why did George Washington have slaves?
Yeah.
Why did Thomas Jefferson have slaves?
Well, I think it is important to say, though, that all the states that seceded, all their documents of announcing their secession, all stated that slavery was the main reason.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
I just want for our listeners.
I guess what I meant by that was, a lot of the folks in the South at the time, weren't fighting for slavery, per se. I think in Mississippi was the highest slave percentage of any of the Confederate states in terms of ownership by white citizens, and I think it was something like 18% or something like that.
It does become complicated when a Northern army is invading your state.
Okay, that's part of what I'm talking about here. We're getting deeper into this than I wanted to go. But when 18% of citizens of Mississippi are slave owners, and then are 20%, let's just say 20% at the time, and then you have 80% of those other whites who don't own slaves, who are just seeing guys with blue uniforms pillaging their homeland, all they care about is fighting to preserve their land. They're not saying, oh, okay, let me stand up for the slave owner over here, the plantation owner. Yeah. Now, they may, who knew what the survey was. They may have used blacks as subhuman. They probably did, most of them, because that was kind of the common. The way you advance slavery is you dehumanize the person that you're, if you have any kind of moral conviction at all. So I guess that's what I'm saying, if that made any sense at all. In studying the Civil War, it was complicated. It was simple, yet complicated in many respects. Kind of like what I've said in the last 2 minutes. all right. Did we solve the Civil War there in about 5 minutes?
I think we've kind of dealt with that whole period.
This comes back to what Steve talked about originally, which is the city of Austin, Texas, is
at least there's some voices
trying to rename roads there, and also potentially rename the city of Austin because Stephen F. Austin was himself a slave owner. Is that right. What you're saying?
The city of Austin's equity office suggested renaming the city.
Okay. All right.
I got to think that's going to go nowhere even for a liberal city. You think they would rename the whole city? I mean,
they're going to be dealt with. It kind of says if they don't, why not?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because that's
how are you going to defend that?
This is what progressives are for.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh? So they're going to have a hard time saying.
You're going to rename streets.
Why not rename streets? Why not rename the town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch.
All right, we said that...
And kick Chick-fil-A out while you're at it.
Sure.
out of Austin.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, Texas. That's what they're going to change Austin to. Chick-fil-A. All right, we said this was going to happen. People call us crazy when we say things, we predict what's going to happen, but you know how the fluidity of gender. Well, I want you to meet a man named Christian Hale, I think is his name. No, his name is David. He only identifies as David. He lives in Alberta, Canada, and he was going out to get some car insurance. He was charged $4,500 Canadian for the car insurance, but said that, too bad he's not a woman because he would be charged about $1,100 Canadian dollars less. So he went down to the court and legally changed his gender to become a woman so that he can have less car insurance. His quote...
He says, my goodness.
I'm a man, 100%. Legally, I'm a woman, he says, but I did it for cheaper car insurance.
At least he was honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he get by with it?
Yeah, because he changed it on his...
this is just like what you're saying, how it's fun to watch, because that's the logical extension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, I'm just going to say it so I don't forget this. You're going to have to, when you go back to your office, send me that story.
I will.
Because that's going to be, that's classic.
He's been accused of perjury. But, and
prove it.
Yeah.
and here's the thing. So now if he gets married and marries a woman, is that then legally a same-sex marriage?
Legally, yeah.
Because his gender in a legal capacity.
This is the legal jungle that we all knew that would have to happen if you started accepting non-facts.
This is what I was talking about. Right. We predicted these things and everybody says, oh, come on.
Yeah,
we need to have a transgender file. I don't know what kind of music you'd have for that, but because those kinds of stories are going to just start to multiply when someone finds out, and it's true in this country too. Now your insurance is higher if you're a male until you turn like 25 or something.
Yeah.
You're more likely to, I guess, have a accident.
That's what they say.
So this is the bizarre conversation we are forced to have. So the actuarial tables or whatever it is in terms of young men, until they reach age 25, they are more likely to have accidents.
Right.
Okay. Now, does that fact change
if a young man changes
his gender to female?
No, but he gets subsumed under the data table for the women. So, it'll skew the women a little bit to the more accident prone.
Tell you
but
what.
He's there. What can you do?
That's going to be my example every time I have a conversation with someone.
There you go.
That is the perfect example of how insane this is turning out to be.
I agree.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
You have made my Monday.
Glad to do it.
Send me that article.
It's on its way.
Should be noted, I've gone 2 minutes without interrupting anybody.
I'm sorry. I was just all excited about that.
It's okay.
That's a perfect example.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
For your contributions and... Quite a Barney shirt you got on there.
Oh, man.
I love you.
Oh, don't get that in my head.
Thank you, Ed, for your contributions.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Walker, appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, folks, for listening to the program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our thanks to our producer, Brent Creeley, and we shall see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues. Have a great day, everybody.